Joined in the studio, as you can probably hear.
Hello.
How are you, Claudia?
Oh, very good, very good.
Do you? I mean, and we know that Spanish, you can be de la Cruz than I. You know, I can be de la Pueblo. Quieres de la Pueblo. But yeah, that's a name, isn't it? That's 17. So I think it's 17 names in one.
Well, you know, I wasn't born in Spain. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was born in Peru. And there...
Paddington country.
Paddington,
with
yes.
With a marmalade sandwich.
Exactly.
Please look after this tax advisor, thank you.
And there, the names are much longer than in Spain.
Were you so, born in... Sorry, just I'm intrigued now.
Yeah.
Was your mother on... Was your mother Peruvian or no?
My mother is actually Italian.
This is getting better by the second. Yes, come on.
But, you know, South America is full of people who move from the Second World War, and yeah. You'll see in Argentina, there's also a mixture. So that is normal. But the thing is that the names there are quite long. So you will find, for example, nobody calls their children Juan or Pedro, but they call them Juan Pedro. This is something very new, normal there.
Yeah.
Instead of Jose or Manuel, they call them Jose Manuel. This is very South American.
Yeah.
Long names.
I love the thing on the civil register, because back in, we'll call it the day. So when I first came to Spain in 85, when I first moved here, when dinosaurs walked the earth, basically, you had to have a Spanish. There was a selection of names that you could have that were approved by the state. So it was all things like Dolores and all those sort of names, and Immaculate Concepcion, which
that
was
something.
And then suddenly, I think it was in the 90s, it all changed. You could name your kid anything. So suddenly, everybody became India and Star and Gaia.
Yeah, That's true. That has happened. Yeah.
But one thing that has remained constant is the tax law. You see what we did there? If you want to get involved with the show and tell me some long names or whatever, or something, or talking about tax, let's have a look at these other numbers to get in contact with myself and Claudia.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And we have a question for Claudia already. So we're up and running. Any questions would be advised, not about names, but about... For this one, is coming in from Tony. Good morning to you. He says, hi, tax question. My wife and I have only state pensions, part English, part Spanish. How much can our income be without filling in a tax form?
If it's only state pensions, it's 15,000 euros.
Right.
If
that's the combined of both the English,
but
and
it's not a good idea not to file the tax return, even if it's below 15,000 euros, because if you what was the name, Tony, if you ever wanted to, for example, sell your house and be exempted from capital gains tax, when this happens when you're over 65 years of age, you'll need to prove that you have been tax resident in Spain for the last 3 years as minimum. And for that, you need a certificate of tax residency issued by the tax office. They won't give you that if you haven't filed your tax return. So it's always advisable to file a tax return, even if you have no obligation.
And just to let you, somebody's trying to call in on the WhatsApp, we can't take WhatsApp calls on the system, so if you want to call in for Claudia, the number is 952-78-4000. That's 952-78-4000. Now, tax residency in Spain, the implications, because this is tax residency, it gets confused with residency, or I'm here part time, or da da da,
so many people are so confused because they say, oh, I am tax resident from the 4th of March because my permit, my golden visa states the 4th of March. And that's nothing to do with tax residency. That's the date they were given that was given to you. Doesn't mean that you're tax resident from that date. Nothing to do with tax residency, your permit. The permit is just a document that allows you to live in Spain, and if you want it, as a tax resident. So what are tax residency rules? Well, first rule, you spend more than 183 days in Spain.
Yep.
Everybody knows that. second
they do,
rule.
They do now, the way you said that.
The second rule is if your family is resident, even if you have not been here 183 days, you can also be considered tax resident.
Ooh.
And third rule, which is really, really, really important, and people who come here don't realize, is that if you cannot prove that you are tax resident in another country,
yeah.
Okay, how do you prove that? With, again, a certificate of tax residency with a house at your disposition in that other country. If you cannot prove that and you've got economic interest in Spain, you can end up being tax resident without being one single day in Spain. So you've got a property in Spain, you've got a bank account, you've got a business, and you cannot prove that you are resident in Las Bahamas.
Yes.
You're tax resident of Spain. So those are the most important rules. This is a very complicated issue. So,
and of course, the first thing people are going to realize is when they get one of those letters that drops through the door or whatever from our friends at Hacienda.
Yes, exactly.
So, as always, you see, this is the thing. This is the thing about living in Spain, okay? Because people come here, and I get people come over and they go, oh, you're such a life you have here. It's so easy and everything. Because they think because we've got the sun and the... How is the sun and the sand and the sea? And how is Tarifa, by the way? Have you been recently?
No, ooh. And I want to go this weekend. I don't know if my things that I have there have flown away, so I'm right. Going to have to check them out.
But they see things flying away, not necessarily. But they see this and they think, oh, you see, and you know, you have the siesta. And they think that everything is like really yeah. laid back and easygoing. And I just look at them with that, what they used to call in Vietnam in the war, the thousand-yard stare. People have seen too much, too young. Because, as we know, living in Spain is not that straightforward.
No, and it is, apart from these rules I've just mentioned, it's so important to know when you're moving. Yes, why? Because Spain must be one of the only countries, I think, in the world that does not recognize partial residency. So you cannot be resident in Spain within a year for a couple of months. You're either resident for the whole year from January to December or non-resident from January to December. This means, for example, if you arrive in May and you stay until December, you're resident.
Yeah.
And you would think, oh, I'm tax resident from May. No, you're resident from January. So if you are moving and you are planning on selling your home, planning on selling your business, you have to be aware of your dates because you may think you are non-resident and actually you're resident. And those things that I've just mentioned, that yeah. those assets that you're selling might be taxable in Spain. So it's the when is very important.
It's a bit like when you go to school because September the cutoff dates, isn't it?
So, yeah.
You know, if you want to be in year four, you have to get to school then. And otherwise, yeah, you're going to miss it.
A little yeah. bit like that, yeah.
And that means that obviously it's stuff you can be taxed on things that you have received over that Spanish tax year or that period of time.
Exactly, yeah, so. Exactly. If you're considered resident, and because once you're resident, you're liable for on income tax and wealth tax in Spain for your worldwide income. Those assets could be taxed in Spain. Yeah, yeah.
So what if? You're also going to find this is Spain. Some things that wouldn't be taxable in other countries can be taxable in Spain.
Is correct.
That, yeah.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Because in most of the countries we only have income tax declaration,
right.
But in Spain we've got different declarations that you need to file.
Okay.
And one of them is wealth tax.
Ah, right. So this okay. So we need to know what determines to become a Spanish tax resident, and basically we need to know what what do we need to take into account then? What do we need to take into account? Is this the famous Is it the M720 or M720?
Okay,
is it?
Yes.
What do we call it? Is it the M720?
M720
Sounds
declaration.
Sounds like a motorway in England.
Yeah, there's several declarations. Once you become resident, there's several declarations that you must file
yeah.
or should file. Okay, first you've got between January and March the 720, and there's no tax to pay, but you need to declare the assets that you own outside Spain over 50,000 euros. Then you've got the income tax, which I've just explained. You have to pay on your worldwide income. And it is very important to take into account the double tax treaties.
When you
Investments outside of Spain, I mean, are we talking assets as well? So, for example, if I had a yacht in the UK, would that be considered? And it was over 50,000.
Okay, this is Spain. So yeah. For the M720, happily the yacht wouldn't have to be declared. Okay. But yes, for the wealth tax. The M720 only takes into account properties, bank accounts and investments.
Thank you.
But not that one.
Right. Investments meaning stocks, shares, those sort of
pensions,
things.
Yes.
Right, just because obviously you could say, oh, I'm investing in wine, I'm investing in art.
Exactly.
Fine. Okay, super, thank you. That just struck me. Yeah.
Then I was saying about income tax. When foreigners move to Spain, many of them are paying tax in the UK on their pensions at source, and they think, oh, I'm paying taxes, so I don't need to pay my taxes in Spain. Incorrect. Above internal rules of the UK and Spain are the double tax treaties, and when you move to another country, these must be taken into account. And for example, pensions can only be taxed in the country that you are moving to, where you're going to be resident. Okay. So it's very important to have a tax advisor and to explain these things, because you may think you're paying tax, but you're paying it to the wrong country. So
right.
It's actually very important. The other two ones is the typical that we've talked about, the wealth tax. It has a general exemption of 700,000 plus 300,000 on your home, although each community can tax the wealth tax differently. And then you've got the Grandes Fortunas one.
Ah, yes.
The new one that's only for 22 and 23, which has an allowance of 3 million on top of that, 700 and general allowance on top, and 300 on your home. So those are the declarations that you would need to file as a resident.
And refresh my memory, because did they introduce the solidarity tax?
Yes, this was the Grandes Fortunas is part of the solidarity law.
Right, okay, because
yeah.
So, I remember that coming out.
Yes.
Now, awful lot of confusion as well. It's not only how you live, it's where you live. So the threshold for tax is different?
Where you live. So when you're coming to Spain, it's so important, if you don't mind where you're going to move, it might be nice that you have a look at this on the tax perspective, because you may find that there's a big difference between the communities. So I'll just give you some examples. For example, somebody who has a wealth of 2 million, including a house of 300,000, okay, 2 million euros. Well, in Madrid, Andalusia, no tax to pay at all. You would file a tax return, but no tax to pay.
Right.
However, in Canary Islands or Balearic Islands, you would end up paying 7,000 euros. And in Catalonia, you would end up paying 10,000 euros. Okay, so big difference in wealth tax there. So for wealth
gotta
tax
love
purpose...
Gotta
yeah,
love Barcelona,
yeah.
Don't you?
It is important to find out.
Okay, so income tax.
There are also differences
really?
In income tax, yes.
Right.
Because income tax, 50% of it goes to the state, the Spanish government, and the other 50% belongs to the autonomous regions.
Right.
So let's see, a single man, not married, who, earns 40,000 euros.
Yeah.
In Madrid, he would end up paying 8,250.
Yeah.
In Andalusia, 8,700.
Okay.
And in Catalonia or Valencia, nearly 9,000 euros.
It's a big difference, isn't it?
It's a big difference there. So if you add up to the wealth tax, it can be a lot of money. In 1 year, maybe no, but in 10 years, imagine if you're paying 10,000 euros. In Catalonia, wealth tax, that's 100,000. That's something to think about.
Absolutely. Now, I've got another question coming in here on the WhatsApps. Thank you very much for that. That's +34 645 99 67 95. Could Claudia please just clarify, okay, that UK Crown pensions could only be taxed in the UK despite having to be declared in Spain?
Yes, that is correct. The double tax treaty states that crown pensions or government pensions can only be taxed in the country of the in this, for example, sorry, in yeah. in the origin country. In other words, if the if you work for, as a policeman or as or in the town hall of the UK, they can only be taxed in UK. However, the double tax treaty does say as well that this pension needs, although it's not taxable, it needs to be taken into account to find out the tax rate that all the rest of your income will be taxed at. Mm-hmm. So let me explain. For example, if you've got a state pension and a Crown pension, yeah. imagine that the state pension is only taxed at 15%, now at 19%, let's say. Now we include the state pension and the Crown pension, and now it goes up to 20%. It means that now your state pension will be taxed at 20% instead of 19%. That's how it works. So it's more or less exempt.
Okay, let's move on for that particular case. Inheritance and gifts.
Yes, this is another tricky one that when you're moving to Spain, you have to find out, because there's autonomous regions where there is no inheritance or gift tax or nearly exempted. Now, first of all, I have to remind you that it is the inheritance and gift tax is taxed differently to the UK or other countries, where there it is the estate who pays this tax. However, in Spain, it is the beneficiary of the inheritance, beneficiary of the gift, who is going to pay the tax. Now, as a simple a reminder, there's exemption on the gift tax with certain conditions that you will have to find out, but this is exempted in Extremadura, Murcia, Balearic Islands, Madrid, and Andalusia. And then inheritance tax.
And this was direct family. So it's father to son.
Yes.
It can't be.
Sorry.
Oh, my neighbor.
Yes.
I gave
you're,
it, you know, yeah.
You're absolutely correct. Yeah. I forgot to mention this. Very important. It has to be very close family. So we're talking about parents
yeah.
and children, grandparents, that line.
Yeah.
Okay. So cousins or brothers are not considered close family. So we're talking on that very vertical line.
Just go to your neighbours. I've got a great tax dodge, but you have to adopt me first.
Really? Yes. Yes, you have to, because not only when you're not related at all, one can end up paying twice, double, because there's a coefficient. Then, for example, partners which are not married and not registered in the official place. If you're just partners and you're not married and not registered, what happens is that we're talking about the rate, the highest inheritance rate is approximately 34%. So if you're not married, okay.
Civil partnership, okay.
Or? Civil partnership, but registered in the autonomous region. You need to register. It's twice, so 68%.
Would Spain? Here's the thing. I was going to get a call coming in. But would Spain, if I was married to my partner, say that I was in the same sex situation, and we'd be married in Belgium in civil partnership?
That's fine.
That's fine.
That's
okay.
Fine.
Just checking, because you never know these things. Morning call, you're live on TR. Yes, you know where we are. Anyway,
TR. I think I know. Tree. Giles, yes. Morning, it's Sharon Alicante. Hello to Claudia.
Hello.
Hello. We have no children. We've made a will for our UK estate and a will for our Spanish estate. We want to give our Spanish estate to charity when we go. We divided up between two or three charities. What will be the tax liability for those charities?
Well, it will depend
when the second person has gone.
Yeah, it will be quite high, and
will it?
Yes, because they're not related to you, and it depends on the amount that you're receiving. So maybe you can call us, and we can find a way that if it can be done in a different manner during your lifetime instead of leaving it to them. Although, anyway, you know, they would be happy to receive it from you. Yeah,
if you're making a donation to the, you know, and charity, yeah. I applaud you to a Spanish charity. Yeah. Really, it's the charity, and not good morning to any Hacienda listening, but not to our friends at Hacienda. Don't we, Sharon? That's the plan.
I mean a charity. I mean, yes. Not to, yeah, absolutely.
That's, but you
yeah.
want to give charity rather than Hacienda sort of getting the
yeah. That's it is the best option anyway, because it's true. If you do not state that in the will, the tax office will be the owner of it, and they will have.
Yeah.
So it is the best thing that you can do. Yeah.
What to leave it to charity?
Yes, of course.
Okay, and your office would be able to advise us on the way to go about doing that.
Yes, you should call our office and speak with us, and we'll see if there's a way to mitigate this problem.
Distressed broadcasters is always a good charity, by the way. Radio presenters is always a good one, by the way.
Giles. I must remember. I'll leave it to your cat, Giles.
No, I'm sure I'll have to enter a civil partnership with 50 Shades, she'd be delighted. She'd probably leave me as well, so there you go. Anyway, Sharon, thank you for the call. Now, we've only got five, we're flying through them today, we've got 5 minutes. So, again, don't assume that things happen automatically in Spain, because even though Spain, you know, Hacienda will find you wherever you may be, but it's the onus is on you to register. Because then they say, well, ignorance is no defence.
So imagine you've talked to your tax advisor, you've got your golden visa or whatever visa. You say, oh, finally, and now Claudia has told me what taxes. Oh, that's not the end. Sorry, you still need to, as Tels was saying, to register, because you need to tell them that you're tax resident from whatever date, and the most important thing, you need to give them an address for the tax office to be able to send you their letters.
Physically.
Because if you do not, and you assume that they're going to know because you filing your tax return and you're putting it on your tax return, this is not going to happen. And when they send you a letter and you haven't responded, they'll fine you, and it is on you, not on them.
And we've got a call in as well. Morning, caller. What's your question for Claudia, please?
Very quick question. My wife and I, when we came to Spain, had private pensions. Unfortunately, we were scammed by the Continental Wealth Management debacle. And I just want to know if we can offset what we lost in our pensions against our future pension from the government.
Okay, this is a very interesting question, because some pensions in Spain are actually considered investments and not pensions. So we would need to analyze your situation, because it may seem that your pension could be considered an investment fund. And therefore, if this was a case, then yes, those losses could be offset against other investments. You've got 4 years, but we will need to analyze and make sure that that the funds came from you and not related to a work pension. And we would also need to check other conditions of your pension to make sure, and that would be a possibility. Now, if your pension is from a work considered from an employment from a previous employer, then it would in that scenario, I'm afraid there would be no way to compensate those losses. So it's something that needs to be analysed, and if you want to contact us about this, call the office at Spence Clark and we will help you. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much for your information.
Okay. You're
thank
welcome.
You very much. And just quickly, because we've got 1 minute and 55 seconds.
Oh my God!
I know. So register, give the correct address. Also, if you're living like I do, out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes, yes, as well. If you're meeting in somewhere far away, it is very important to provide the tax office with an address of a friend, or to get somebody like my firm to act as your fiscal representative so that they can send us the letter to us.
So, the all-important number, because we had quite a few calls on today, so give us the numbers, please, and get in touch with you.
Yes, the name is Spence Clark, numbers 952-822-2943, and send us, if you log in into our webpage, you'll find a place where you can send your inquiries to us. Okay.
Wonderful. Thanks for your time in, Claudia, of course, from Spence Clark. Go and find the website as well. You'll also find it on a link to it on our own TRE.radio.